Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline De Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hi guys, welcome to episode number 8 of Blissen Up. So today I want to talk to you about being proactive and doing the things that you know are important to live your best life, even when you dread the tasks involved. Now, this idea of proactiveness, productivity, just kind of focusing on what is important, is a topic that I have been studying my entire life. I have just always had an eye for this, right? I talked to you about in a previous episode. I can't remember which one it is right now. I'm going to start doing this is having a list of the episodes that I do with the topics so that I can refer back to them better. I'm going to work on that. Yes. But for right now, I did mention on one of my podcast episodes that when I was 17, I used to have this little brand that I wanted to create for myself called Making the Pieces Fit with Caroline De Posada. And it's because I look at life as like a puzzle, and that puzzle has your career and your work, your finances, your health, your relationships, you know, just all the buckets of your life and the way that you create a meaningful and effective and productive life is kind of by learning how to fit those pieces into your life to create the jigsaw puzzle that is your life, and just kind of knowing when a piece is missing or how to tackle the pieces that don't fit right or that are missing from your life so that you can, you know, create a happy, healthy, meaningful, powerful existence. But here's the thing about that. Oftentimes we know what we have to do for like to fit, put these pieces of the puzzle together. Like we understand that there are things that we have to do. We know what we have to do, but we dread the tasks that we have to do. And those tasks are the ones that I want to address today. It's those dreaded tasks that we wish we could avoid altogether, but maybe shouldn't avoid. And how do we handle it? How do we tackle it? And what the different approaches are? So before I go right into the strategies to tackle these dreaded tasks, I do want to mention a model that I have been using forever from Stephen Covey. So I don't know if you've ever read the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but that book was written by Stephen Covey. This is a funny story, but my father used to make me listen to the audio cassette of this book of Stephen Covey when I was like 7 years old in the car, because he would come to pick me up at home and take me, and he'd be listening to the audio cassettes of this book, and he would make me listen to it. So I listened to this when I was like 7 years old. So I think that this like programming went into my subconscious. And when I started doing the work of core of clarity, organization, resilience, and emotional intelligence, I created all these concepts. And then one random day, I was like, I should reread The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, because I haven't read it since I was 7. And I, quite frankly, didn't remember what the book was about anymore. So I went back and I re-listened to the book, and there were so many things in my core program that I must have assimilated from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, or that are just fundamental principles that apply everywhere, and which is why I had assimilated them. I'm not really sure if it was like in my subconscious and I just remembered, or if I had just adopted those principles over the course of my life. But I read the book and I'm like, oh, yes, 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 yes. This is what I'm talking about. So Stephen Covey has a time management / productivity quadrant, right? It's like a graph to help you visualize and understand how people spend their time and how effective people spend their time. And those four quadrants are, you have, and I'm going to put the graph in my show notes so that you guys have access to it. But quadrant one are things that are urgent and important. It's like you're basically living in crisis. It's the fire drills of the world. It's the meetings and the things with deadlines and the emergencies that pop up into your life that really consume a huge part of your life. Quadrant two are things that are not urgent, but very important. Those are putting pennies in the penny jar. Those are setting aside time for the things that matter most in your life. Those are where some of these dreaded tasks fall into, because sometimes they're not sexy or exciting, but they are fundamental to having your best life. Then you have quadrant three, which are things that are urgent but not important. And those are oftentimes tasks that we, you know, busy tasks, tasks that we allow ourselves to fall for, you know, that are really not contributing to our best life, but they have urgency to them. And therefore we feel as if they are more important than what they are. So let's say that it's like a meeting, just, you know, something simple, a meeting at work that we have every Wednesday at 10 a.m. And nobody questions why we have this meeting at 10 a.m. every Wednesday, but it's actually a completely pointless meeting. There's no reason for us to have it, but everybody just goes and does it because it has this sense of urgency, even though it's not an important task if we were to look at it objectively. That's an example of a quadrant three activity. And then you have quadrant four, which is things that are not urgent and also not important. And that's just, you know, scrolling on TikTok, watching cat videos on YouTube, you know, binging on Netflix till 5 a.m. There's a bunch of tasks that we do that are kind of fillers in our life, but they are neither urgent nor important. And we could, if we wanted to, remove them completely from our lives, and our lives would not change as a result of it. So those are the four quadrants. And when I talk about my methodology for success, which is core, I talk about having, you know, defining success on your own terms. So that is creating a clear picture of what your values, your priorities, your goals, and your lifestyle is or should be, or what you dream of having, right? So it's like clarity around that. And then organizing your life according to those priorities and goals. So this Stephen Covey time management chart, these quadrants, fall squarely under the O of core, which is organizing your life according to those priorities. And what goes into that second quadrant of things that are not urgent but are important are usually those things that contribute most to that C, to the clarity that you've created by defining your own success. So that's just kind of like an overview of the methodology and like the thinking behind doing these things. And when you are designing your day, designing your week, designing your month, designing your year, one of the best things that you can do is be intentional, which we talked about last week on last week's podcast, is be intentional about what you are putting in your calendar and how you are tackling your life so that you can create momentum in the direction that you want to go, so that you can start the domino effect. And believe me, I've been, you know, witnessing this in real time. Your life will catch momentum in one direction or another. Momentum is momentum. And once it starts, you know, things can oftentimes create a snowball effect. And if you're not careful, they create a snowball effect in the direction opposite of where you want to go. And I never want you to experience that. So this is such an important episode. Like, this is such an important episode because it starts with the idea of putting pennies in the penny jar, of just investing into that second quadrant, into things that are not urgent, but that are so, so, so important. And what inspired me to record this episode was a visit to the dentist this week. Now, I have to admit to you that I dread going to the dentist. It's not necessarily that I'm afraid of going to the dentist. I know that there's a lot of people that have a genuine fear of the dentist. I don't have a genuine fear. I just don't enjoy the experience because dental machines make this awful noise. Whether you're getting a cleaning or a procedure done in your mouth, it's like this noise from the dentist. And it is the most awful noise ever. And they give me goosebumps. It's so difficult for me to tolerate and endure the dentist's visit because of that noise. And I just dread going. I don't like to go. And dental hygiene is important to me. I like my smile. I like my teeth. I believe in, you know, dental hygiene, and I also know that the wellness of your teeth affects other areas of your well-being. So it's a very important part of the process is to have your routine cleanings and just kind of go to the dentist. So I'm sitting at the dentist's office waiting to get my dental cleaning this week, and I was thinking about three different examples of people who dread the dentist that I know personally and how they have handled it differently. So I'm going to start with the first example, which is when I was growing up, there was a viejita in my family. I don't know if she was a tia or what she was, but she was a viejita in my family. May she rest in peace. She's no longer with us. And I noticed as a little girl that every time she would talk or she would smile, she would put her hand over her mouth, kind of like to cover her mouth, as if you know how, like, if you're chewing and you want to say something, you kind of cover your mouth so the person doesn't see you chewing. That's kind of how she would behave every single time that she was going to speak or smile. And I also noticed that she would never smile in pictures, ever. And this was a beautiful woman. So one day I asked my parents, I'm like, why does she always cover her mouth? And my dad said, well, because she refuses to go to the dentist. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, she's just been afraid of the dentist forever. And she just, at one point, she just refused to go. And little by little, her mouth started to have problems. Her teeth started to decay. And then some of her teeth started falling out. And it's gotten to the point where her mouth is so damaged that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't have a lot of teeth, and she's embarrassed by that. So she just covers her mouth. I'm like, but couldn't she just go to the dentist and get it resolved? And he's like, oh, I mean, her kids have tried to convince her and they've talked to her and, you know, there's been like all this stuff, but she avoids it at all costs. And the consequence is that, you know, her teeth are falling out, and, you know, it got to the point where she couldn't even really chew foods. She had to live on a diet of soft foods because she didn't have the teeth to bite her food. I was always fascinated by that. Like, how could you just completely avoid something that seemed so crucial to your life? But that is a strategy. It's an option. You could completely avoid doing the task that you dread. And what's interesting about that is that there is a lot of power in knowing that you have a choice. People often get stuck in the have to. And I even got stuck in, at the beginning of this podcast, I said the things that you have to do. Have to do is an illusion. You don't have to do anything, but you choose to do it because the alternative is that you simply don't. And if you don't, you just have to be prepared for the consequences of that thing. Now, there is another downfall of total avoidance, and that is that total avoidance often leads to putting something that was in quadrant two, not urgent and important, into quadrant one, which is urgent and important. So this viejita is an extreme example. Like, she was willing to go all the way through it, right? So even when she had pain in her mouth and she knew that she had an infection, and she knew that it was urgent and that she really needed to go to the dentist, she just let her teeth fall out. Like, she held through. She held through. But most of us, we will avoid something until it becomes unavoidable for our tolerance. So in my particular case, I've told you I dread the dentist. There was a time where I was irresponsible about going to the dentist. I collect a lot of plaque in my teeth, and I really should go every 3 months. That's like the ideal protocol for me to get a dental cleaning to avoid complications. And there was a while, you know, in my life that I just didn't make it a priority. So instead of going every 3 months, I'd go every, you know, time I remembered, or I spent like a couple of years without going at all. And it's not that I was actively avoiding it. I just did not make it a priority in my life. And then all of a sudden, one day I had a toothache. And when I had the toothache, that activity that could have just been, I go once every 3 months, became into a whole ordeal. I ended up having to have 2 root canals. I had to spend a fortune. I had to go to the dentist 5, 6, 7 times to get everything resolved in my mouth, because my mouth was had some issues, you know, after not having gone to the dentist for a couple of years. And it wasn't, you know, it's just what happened. It was very uncomfortable for me. And I said, okay, I'm never doing this again. I'm going to start going every 3 months, and I'm going to have it top of mind, because I don't want this consequence. I'm not willing to handle this consequence. So some of us, we don't have the tolerance for those kinds of consequences. And therefore we will avoid until we can't. And then when we can't, then we have to deal with it as an emergency, as a crisis, as like right now. And that is not where you want to be. That's being reactive. And that creates a life of emergencies. And it's just not where you want to be. So that's the first strategy. Then you've got me. I'm the second strategy, which is I grit through it. I just go to the dentist now because I know that I have to. And I am waiting, because technology is advancing, and I'm waiting for the brilliant inventor who's going to invent machines that don't make those noises and make millions and billions of dollars for all of us. So if you are that inventor and you invent these products, make sure you let people know you heard about it here first. But anyway, I go to my dentist and I grit through it. I bulldoze my way through the experience, because I don't want the consequence. But here is what I do also that makes it really helpful. I have turned the experience into a tapping into my resilience experience, meaning I have created, I've turned it into a game, like a resilience building exercise. So when I go to the dentist now, I always go with my AirPods and my and I have a meditation on my phone. And I sit in the chair, I put the meditation as loud as I can so that it kind of interferes with the noise, but I could still hear the noise and I could still feel it and it's still, ugh. So as that goes on in my brain, I am affirming, this is making me stronger. I am powerful. I can do hard things. I am pushing through my discomfort so that I could come out on the other side. Like, I kind of talk to myself and I do this meditation and I use it as a mindset exercise. So when I come out of that dentist, I feel like I've climbed a mountain because I have overcome this obstacle. I'm strong. I know that I can do this. I am so proactive. I kind of like give myself props, and I, this may sound ridiculous to you, but it works. Like, it helps when you are doing a task that you dread doing and you put on your resilience glasses, which is the R in core, and you say, I am doing this because I am strong and I'm powerful and I can do this and I can do hard things and this is not as hard as I think it is. And you just kind of like walk yourself through it, and then you're done. You have a really activated your dopamine, and it is a very powerful exercise to do. So that is the second strategy. And then there is the third strategy, and that is my mother-in-law's strategy. So my mother-in-law also does not like going to the dentist, but she, like me, has to go every 3 months. And guess what? She has decided that she is gonna make the experience as pleasurable as possible by requesting laughing gas. You see, at her dentist, they don't offer this at my dentist's office, but at her dentist's office, they offer laughing gas. They have laughing gas. And she, I guess, had to do a procedure. They gave her laughing gas. She realized that she felt nothing. She heard nothing. She was happy the whole time. She came out. She felt great. It didn't harm her. And the time that she was doing the procedure was over very quickly. So she, it was a breeze. It was easy. And since that day that she had that experience, she said, well, what if I were to do this for every dental appointment that I have? So now she pays a little bit extra every time that she goes to get a dental cleaning so that she can add laughing gas before she does the dental cleaning. And you would think, oh, she, you don't have to go through all that just to get a dental cleaning. But in her mind, she has enough resilience building activities in her life. She has enough things that are hard that she has to deal with, and the dentist doesn't have to be one of them. So in this particular task that she dreads, she has found a way to minimize pain and optimize her efficiency and allow her to do it. So now she goes every 3 months. She's not afraid. She knows that it's going to be easy. It's going to be a breeze. It just costs her a little bit more money. And she's in, she's out. She's never had to do a procedure in her mouth because her dental hygiene is excellent. That is another strategy. And that strategy is a strategy that I've also seen with my dear friend and partner and Dr. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez has this belief that we humans should not be exposed to constant pain, right? That we are not meant to always be suffering. And therefore, we need to maximize pleasure and reduce pain. And at least that's our human nature. That's our instinct. So his theory is that the more things you can do for a human to allow them to complete a task by reducing pain and optimizing pleasure, the healthier and happier the humans will be. I understand this concept and I tread lightly on it because of two things. I'm a stoic And as a Stoic, my mindset is that we have to go through the pain in order to get to the pleasure. So I have that mentality. And I also understand the value of some people will not get to the, will not go through the experience if there is too much pain. They'll be like the viejita who avoids it completely. And we need to be able to serve those people. So that's, you know, I've treaded lightly on that one. And I've come to understand that one of the best things that you can do is to discern what will serve you most in a certain circumstance. Will it serve you to use the pain that you're going to endure as a resilience building exercise, or will it serve you to find a way to go through that exercise by reducing the pain the best you can? And I think that they're both important. They both have a time and a place. And I think it's part of the whole project to, you know, entertain both. The one thing I think we should try to avoid is complete avoidance, because complete avoidance brings that momentum that I'm talking about and consequences of a life we don't want to live. And I don't want that for you at all. So speaking of doing things that are hard but reducing pain, Dr. Sanchez is a huge believer in 5-day fasts. And I've adopted his philosophy as well, because, you know, he's done so much research on it. There's a huge benefit in engaging in periodic, long term fasts to reset the body, activate autophagy, clean out our insides, let our digestive systems rest, get healthier, clear our minds, remove brain fog. All this kind of stuff is excellent and accomplished through these 5-day fasts. But a 5-day water fast is incredibly difficult. And most people would not engage in a 5-day water fast because it's just too hard. And they would think that in order for them to participate in that, they'd have to like go to a retreat and separate from everybody. And, you know, it's just too hard to do. So most people aren't going to do that in their daily life. Like, they're not going to incorporate that into their routine. And quite frankly, it could be a little bit dangerous for people that have never done it before, because maybe they're not metabolically flexible. They can't, they've never fasted before. They don't eat well. And doing a 5-day water fast could be dangerous in their case. It could, you know, be too extreme and cause too much stress for the body. So Dr. Sanchez knows this, and yet he really does believe that we should all include a fasting practice in our life. It's kind of like going to the dentist. It's something that we should do every few months to really optimize our health. So what did he do? He designed a mimic fast with the intention of reducing pain, optimizing the experience, and even making it a little fun. How fun? Well, because you do it in community. And anytime that you do anything in community, things get more exciting. They allow you to connect with people. They help you feel that you're supported and that you are surrounded by like-minded people. And it's a funner experience. So he designed this quarterly fast, which we have named Rejuvafast, and it's a 5-day mimic fast. And it is the equivalent of the laughing gas for my mother-in-law, right? It's, I want to do something that I know I'm going to dread, and I'm going to make it less painful. Now, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not like a walk in the park, because you are limiting and restricting how much you're eating, but it is designed to, for some people, it's like really easy, right? Like, it's way easier than they think. And for some people, it has its challenges, but it's way easier than the alternative, which is a water fast, or avoiding it altogether, which causes other problems. So you have this, you know, you come into this program, everybody starts together as a group, everybody stops eating at the same time. We have a meal plan. You can follow your meal plan. So you have to, you know, use minimal brain power. You just, you know, eat the foods that are on your sample meal plan. You have a WhatsApp community and you guys chat and everybody supports each other and you go through it together. And then at the end of 5 days, you've done something really incredible for your body. You've done something really incredible for your brain. You have participated in creating a life that invites bliss to find you. And you've done this hard thing by making it less hard, by using these strategies. So in my particular case, because I tread lightly on this, well, we should be able to tap into our resilience and we should also know when it's important to use the third strategy, I've done both. I started the mimic fast as a mimic fast because I wanted to be responsible and I wanted to know how to do it. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to just tackle that first challenge. And then eventually I upgraded to a water fast and I played with the water fast to see, like, can I do it? And I used that grit mentality of I am tough. I'm super tough and I can do this. And then now I've seen for people who the mimic fast is a little harder for, use my mentality, my resilience mentality. Like they have me, they're supporting them to embrace that, right? So it's a controlled environment and maybe it's a little harder for them, but they are using that resilience building exercise with the mimic fast. And, you know, the way that I handle it right now that I've done both is that each quarter I discern where I'm at and what I want to tackle. Now, doing a mimic fast is so easy for me that it almost doesn't even feel like I'm fasting anymore. So now, depending on the season, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to push myself and do a water fast and I'm going to kind of like go through it and build resilience, or I'm going to do the laughing gas option. I'm going to go with a mimic fast. I'm going to be a little bit more gentle because of where I'm at right now or what I have to focus on this week. And I'm going to do the mimic fast and I'm going to feel great about it because I know that I am still putting pennies in the penny jar. I'm still causing that shift in momentum toward my healthiest, happiest, most meaningful life. I'm investing in the right buckets and I am focused on that second quadrant activity, like that not urgent, but so, so, so important. So if, just so that you know, our upcoming fast is from July 14th to the 19th. So if this is something that you want to try with me, I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's very easy. You just go to rejuvafast.com and sign up to join us. It's 5 days of inspiration, of resilience building, of tapping into your greatest life and of transformation. I mean, there's just nothing like it. I believe in it so much. And I've had so many of my clients be able to tap into that bliss, like to listen for that bliss during those moments when their brains are clear and the fog of all the processed foods is eliminated from their mental space, and all of a sudden they can tap into their bliss and pay attention to that bliss, and it is absolutely magical. So I encourage you all to do it with us, and to think about today, what are the tasks that you know you should incorporate into your life to make your life healthier, happier, and more meaningful. And this could be, you know, calling your grandmother. This could be a date night with your partner. This could be certain tasks at work. This could be choosing to save money every month. This could be eating better foods, exercise, going to the doctor, going to the dentist, getting your routine checkups. Like there's so many things that we have to do. Decluttering your house, right? Getting organized, hiring a coach. Just there are so many things that we can do that are not urgent and yet are very, very important, and we get to decide if we're going to make space for them. And I want you to think about that this week. What are you going to make space for? And if one of the tasks happens to be a task that you dread, I want you to remember this episode. And I want you to think, I have three choices. I can avoid, I can grit through it, or I can find a way to reduce the pain and optimize the pleasure. Maybe it's going to the gym with a friend or taking a salsa dance class instead of going for a run because that's funner. I don't know what it is. You get to know what that is. But this is an important thing for you to tackle. And I think that having this awareness and this mindset is going to help you tremendously. So this has been a little bit longer than I usually do my episodes, but I really wanted to get this point across. I think it is so, so, so important. And I really hope that you take this with you and that it serves you in tapping into your core, you know, your clarity, organization, resilience, and emotional intelligence so that you can start to shift the momentum for a life that invites bliss to find you. I hope you guys have a great week, and make sure that you reach out to me and let me know what resonated with you and what you want to talk more about in the future. I can't wait to continue to see how this podcast evolves and all the beautiful things we're going to do together. Take care, guys. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, your wellness, and your relationships, and you're looking for a life coach to work with you one-on-one and really help you just retrain your brain, define success on your own terms, and just live healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, well, I invite you to schedule a consult with me. Let's have a conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to calendar of consult right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or send me a DM on Instagram at carolinedeposada. I'm so excited to connect with you a little further. Now, as far as this podcast goes, I would so, so, so appreciate if you could leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so much. And like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thank you for helping me spread good in this world.